The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another postgame with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My partner this evening will be Terry Cushman Jr. at Cushman MLB for great articles daily by the Bastards crew. Bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go. The Red Sox finally lose against the Yankees. It feels like we haven't done it in so long. After outscoring our opponents 19-4, drop game four behind an absolute home run bash. Jazz Chisholm going off twice. Trent Grisham going off twice. Sox end up losing the final one 7-2. They find themselves just half a game ahead of New York for the wild card right now. Terry, what's your takeaway from this series and what's your takeaway from this game?
As far as the game goes, I was on Friday night with Nick the Voice, and we both kind of agreed Saturday was looking pretty good as far as a W with Crochet on the mound and May versus Rodon, even with a couple of very good outings from May, didn't look so great. And it's kind of a wonky series. It's great to win 3 out of 4, especially when you lost 3 in a row coming into the series. So, I mean, if you told me at the beginning, calm down, you're going to win 3, I think we'll take it every time. But in a few of the games, the Red Sox did have some trouble scoring runs. A couple of the pitching performances weren't super stellar. I mean, Giolito continues to scuffle. Hasn't been terrible, has kept us in every game that he's pitched, but hasn't been the Giolito we saw earlier in the summer. And I just think it's super ironic that all 7 runs given up tonight from the Red Sox were ex-Dodgers pitchers. That's kind of weird. Bueller in mop-up duty, your $18 million mop-up guy. Wasn't a good one, but, you know, the expectations weren't super high for this game. And Rodon's been pitching very well and kind of got, you know, screwed by the umpires a little bit.
A little bit. That first inning was rough. Roman Anthony saw that pitch really low and outside, and that was called a strike. And I had a hunch that just was going to be the way that it worked out. Plus, Dustin May, who I like, not necessarily the best control when he's out there. It just wasn't there. You know, I thought, you know, after the Red Sox score 10 or more, are they really likely to win that game? And it's a 50-50 shot. They've done it 4 times. They've not done it 4 times. And it was just their turn. I mean, you have an absolute masterclass performance between Brian Bello and Garrett Crochet, combining for 14 innings, 16 strikeouts, 1 run on 8 hits. That only run scored was a solo shot by Giancarlo Stanton. And then that's being bookended by a great performance by, you know, the bullpen salvaging that game. You got 4 1/3 innings of relief, allowing 3 hits by Wilson, Weiser, Matz, Whitlock, and Chapman, who is putting an historic campaign as a closer. I thought it was absolutely great that we got to see him twice shut it down against his former team. And this one just, you know, like you mentioned, all of the home runs in this game came against former Dodgers pitchers. Dustin May, familiar with the Yankees. Walker Buehler, familiar with the Yankees. Just unlucky. You know, we've seen Buehler for another appearance now. One pitch kind of blurs that line. I think that Buehler will end up becoming a solid bullpen piece. I don't know if he's going to find himself back into the rotation. I don't think he's going to find himself wearing a Red Sox uniform in 2026. But if you have a three-game series and you win two of three, or a four-game series and you win three of four, I'm not really too concerned about the final game if we're able to win two of those three or three of those four. So the bats were not obviously as hot in today's ball game. They were absolutely torching it. I mean, the ninth inning in yesterday's game, the fans were actually booing the Yankees. You actually had the fans booing their team. So, yeah, a very unlikely candidate in Trent Grisham having a two home run performance, and Jazz Chisholm, who can always, you know, be Jazz, and unfortunately just didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, two starts ago, coming into the night, two starts ago, Dustin May had probably one of his best starts of the year. Six innings pitched, eight strikeouts against the Houston Astros. Didn't even give up an earned run there. And then his next start, pretty solid, not quite as good, though. Six innings again. Two earned runs, walked two, struck out five, but still, and that was against the Orioles. And I know they're in last place, but they still have an offense that can do some damage. And they've got one of the top prospects in all of Major League Baseball up on their roster right now, Bisalo. So, and we're going to face them for another four games here. But I was just wondering, like, those two solid starts, this would have been a great test for Dustin May in Yankee Stadium against a lineup that can mash. He did fail the test tonight. But, you know, you're looking at Giolito, and I think everybody on the crew would have an open-mindedness of bringing him back on a multi-year deal, Giolito. But part of me was wondering, if Dustin May just absolutely lights it up here for the next 5 weeks, that's five or six starts remaining for him, plus some possible postseason starts, could he be the guy that the Red Sox targeted this winter instead of Giolito?
It does bring you an interesting point. Giolito has an interesting clause. He's got to get 140 innings in 2 years, being this year and last.
Just this year, 140.
Just this year, okay. So he's at 111 right now, so he needs 29 more innings. If he puts together two or three more starts, that's already a guaranteed 26 contract. I'd love to see them bring back Dustin May, but I understand if Giolito ends up being the guy who potentially does come back, just because of the consistency and because of, I think, just the way that he handled himself in the first half of the year. I mean, this is a guy who just very eloquent, spoke very well, and just understood his job. Like, he wasn't trying to pretend to be, you know, the ace of the rotation. And he came out here for, you know, 1 month and did really, really well, followed it up, did the exact same thing, followed it up, was very consistent again. And this is someone that's not getting shelled, you know, not able to get out of the second or third inning. This is someone who's given you six innings, seven innings. I mean, you have to remember, in the month of May and or June, excuse me, four straight starts of six innings or more. And then he starts all of July, and all of those games are five innings or more. He had three quality starts in those five, went 3-1, an ERA of 3.4. So I think the Red Sox are trending in the right direction. I don't have any reason to be worried right now, unless you got Dustin May and Lucas Giolito both saying, yeah, we want 3-4 year deals. Because I don't think either one of them is going to see three or four. If they're willing to take flyer 1 years, very, very likely. I think Giolito has possibly earned two, but we need to see Dustin May stay healthy and be consistent. Right now, he can't stay healthy, and he can't be a consistent arm in the rotation if he's not giving you good starts in and out.
For me right now, Giolito is still the guy, and it would be hard to really... things would have to go really sideways here, but, you know, he started scuffling three starts ago against the San Diego Padres, gave up four earned runs, walked six, and only struck out one. His next start was against the Marlins. Not a terrible start, 6-1/3, gave up seven hits, but only one earned run. And then his last outing against the Yankees in this series only went 4 2/3 again. So that's two out of his last three, not pitching five full. He walked three, only struck out three as well. So hopefully he just kind of gets it back together. The one encouraging thing is that the balls aren't leaving the yard. He hasn't given up more than one home run recently, and that was the big problem. That was literally the big knock on him the last couple of years prior to the Tommy John. So we're not seeing that. So he's probably searching for it. Hopefully he finds it. And as far as Dustin May goes, not a good ballpark for him, Yankee Stadium. Those balls that were flying out to right, I don't know if they were, I didn't look at the metrics. I don't know if they're, I don't think the second Jazz Chisholm home run would have been a homer at Fenway. I feel pretty confident in that, but we'll see. The schedule does get a little bit weaker. He won't be facing the Orioles in this series, which this upcoming series, which I think is good, but you know, it would have been nice. I mean, we're kind of beating a dead horse here. It would have been nice if we set the bar a little bit higher at the deadline to, you know, upgrade a little bit better than a Dustin May type guy, but nothing we can do about it now.
Yeah. The one interesting stat that they did show was that prior to this year, he had only allowed 18 home runs, but if you count the home run that he did allow when he was a Dodger, he's given up 19 this year or 19 in his career before Before this year, the home run ball was not an issue. This year, all of a sudden, though, it's been an absolute monstrosity. So he's given up 17 home runs, 18 if you count that, the one, or actually it might have been 17. And then this year alone, Dodgers and Boston, he's given up 20. So this is a guy who was never a home run guy. He's never giving up a lot of home runs. All of a sudden now he's getting shelled. So it's an interesting statistic to take a look at because it's kind of hard to be an elite pitcher if, you know, you're letting the balls go out of the park on a consistent basis. You know, you're allowing a home run a game essentially. And that's not good, especially if there's ducks on the pond. So he's got to clean that part up of his game. Now, Giolito is an interesting guy. He's an innings eater. Obviously, we all know what happened last year where he just was an absolute mess. He was injured, couldn't stay, just couldn't be here. I would not be opposed to bringing him back. I'd be sad if we couldn't also consider bringing back May, but depending on what the money situation looks like, I think I'm still leaning with Giolito too. But this is going to be something to be mindful of, and I think something that we should be watching out for because the Yankees are going to be a team that we have to fight every single year. We still have a three-game set, and I don't know who's lined up to potentially be those three-game pitchers. I'd love to see May in there again. I'd love to see Giolito in there again as well, depending on how the cards fall or chips fall, or whatever you want to say, or however the expression goes. Even if we lose that series, we still took the Yankees 8-5 in 13. I think there's a chance that we could win one or two of that three-game set as well. The Yankees are falling. I mean, people can say that they were surging, but you almost got swept at Yankee Stadium by the Red Sox. What do you think the Yankees would have done if the Red Sox swept them? Do you think that Boone is still the manager or no? Do you think he would have been gone?
He should have been fired. I know they went to the World Series.
I agree. But I'm curious. Do you think he would have been fired?
They got steamrolled last year and they just weren't even a threat. They didn't even show up to the World Series and put up a fight. I can't believe he's still the manager today. I can't believe Cashman is still the GM at this point. Like they don't have a farm system. I don't know what their future is, but it's going to have to strictly be through free agency, and you can't win like that. You do have to have a homegrown core, and I think the Red Sox have done that pretty well, and we're starting to see it now from a pitching standpoint. But I don't see the Yankees as a threat. I think they're more flawed this year than they were last year. They don't have Juan Soto again. And I think the Red Sox, too, are another team. I mean, obviously, our future's brighter. And I think our potential to go into the postseason could potentially be deeper. You have to align some stars to do that, but it's possible. But the one thing both teams have in common right now is that they don't really have an identity. I just don't. And we in a couple of recent World Series, one team that went to the World Series was completely unforeseen. Nobody was talking about the Texas Rangers the last week of September being a major threat to win it like they ultimately did. The Diamondbacks that same month weren't talked about either as pennant winners in the next 4 weeks. And then the Phillies had that magical run in 2022, and they've stayed, you know, at that level ever since. Zach Wheeler, they've lost him for the season, so we'll see what repercussions.
Unreal.
That may
I
have.
Could not believe that for Philly. Brutal attack there to their rotation.
He's been so solid too, especially in the postseason, but he's got to have that thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. So,
yep. 6 to 8 months.
So could the Red Sox be, you know, that unforeseen team? I don't know. The back end of the rotation looks very shaky to me, and we're not putting up a lot of runs in this series. No. I mean, you put up two tonight, you put up one two nights ago, but that was the only one you needed. Luckily, Bayo was just out of his mind. So we'll see. I don't know what this team is, and I'm not happy with the moves that got made as the season started, but they're grinding, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you shelled $300 million, and the only acquisitions were Dustin May and Steven Matz. I mean, that's brutal. That's when you're looking to get another at bat. A correction here by Johnny Fontaine. So with Giolito, not a guaranteed contract, it's mutual option if he opted in for 2025. So I thought that was player option. So I misspoke there. Postseason is going to look really interesting. Now, if you have the opportunity to see other teams that are playing, not necessarily the Red Sox, you want to see two teams that could potentially be exciting or cause some havoc and damage, go check out the Padres bullpen. They absolutely loaded everything up. That team is going to be really interesting to watch. And I hate I'm not a Padres fan. Hate Manny Machado. Can't stand him. But you look at their bullpen, their guys are all sub-2 ERA guys. They got Morhan in there. You got Jason Adam in there. You got Mason Miller, who's sometimes closing, sometimes not. Jeremiah Estrada's in there, a pitcher that the Chicago Cubs completely gave up on. Dude, I wish we had half that rotation or half that bullpen. We don't. So it's going to be great to get to the postseason. That's going to be fun because we haven't really tasted that in a little while. I'm curious to see how far the team actually gets. I don't know if I want to say that they don't have an identity. I think they're trending in a certain direction. It's not, you know, it's not 2004 Boston Red Sox fun. It's not 07 Boston Red Sox fun. It's not 13 Red Sox fun. I'm not really sure, you know, you know who the leaders were for those first couple World Series, but in 2018, I'm not sure whose name I'd put behind the list of leader there. You got Breggy in there. You got Duran in there. I think Bregman does a superb job with the leadership when he's not playing with the youngsters and trying to help them just kind of get ready for the game, whether it be in-game, post-game, before the game. Like, it doesn't matter. He's an absolute gamer, wants everyone to have their best performance. I'm also not thrilled about the additions that were made. We just didn't move the needle enough in the direction because – if the Red Sox go all the way, which you and I were the only two people that picked the Red Sox, I believe, to go all the way in the American League. If you're facing the Padres, you're facing the Phillies, you're facing the Dodgers, who wins that World Series, Red Sox or the opponent?
The opponent.
How many games do you think we win?
In the World Series?
World Series, best of seven.
I'd say it goes 5 or 6. So that's one or two wins.
One or two wins, two with a little asterisk. Maybe they mess up and we get lucky on some dumb luck, right? We just don't have enough there. And ultimately, if you shut down one or two of those bats, you could get swept. Now, the Red Sox have, funny enough, been on the positive side of that. They swept in 04. They swept in 07. We did not sweep in 18. And I don't believe we swept in 13 either. So, you know, we've been on the right side of it. I'm curious to know, if the Red Sox were to go all the way, would it do more damage than good if they got swept 4-0? I don't know. I don't think it would be great.
I mean, my big fear, I don't want to get into a long rant on this, but if you go deep, you know the front office and ownership's going to feel validated that, oh, this is the way to do it. This is how you build a team now.
Right.
And that's what they said after 2021, and we spent 3 years paying for that, paying for that flawed mindset. So hopefully the approach is aggressive. And, you know, there's so many questions about this offseason. Do you bring back Giolito? Are we going to get outbid? Is he going to be like the hot pitcher on the market? I mean, a lot of people thought Nick Pivetta would have tons of suitors, and that didn't really materialize. He might have had the qualifying offer, actually, so that probably factored in. But with Giolito,
I don't think we offered Pivetta the qualifying offer last year. We did? I don't remember giving it to him.
I'm almost positive. Yeah. Okay. And then, so I don't know. I mean, do we want to get into a bidding war for Giolito? Is he going to be the great value guy of the offseason? And then, you know, it's not quite the elephant in the room, but Bregman is going to opt out, as we know. And we'll see what happens there. But so there's so much, like, what's this winter going to look like? Because I don't know if we can replicate this season again, you know, with the mindset we had last winter. I don't think we can.
Well, no, you can't, because if that's your mindset, then you failed. You've learned nothing. And this wasn't a recipe for super, super success. Yeah, you got the 7-game win streak. You had the 10-game streak. And that's great when you have those heaters against some of the teams that you did. But that doesn't translate to postseason success. And it doesn't translate to necessarily getting to the next level, because you've won 6 games. A week later, you could lose 6 games. So easy come, easy go. This team, I don't think anybody looks at the Boston Red Sox and says, yeah, that's a team that could beat us in a 5-game set, or that's a team that could own us in a 7-game set. No one says that about this team. You put the Phillies in there, you put the Padres in there, you put the Dodgers in there, the Tigers in there, maybe the Mariners in there. Those are teams that you're saying, okay, yeah, that's probably a team that has a pretty good chance of beating us in a 5-game set or a 7-game set. I don't know if there's any clear-cut team in Major League Baseball that I would say, okay, if we face them for 5 or 7 games, we're getting swept. I don't think there's any. Not right now. Not with the injuries that some teams have. I mean, Philly's losing their starting pitcher. I mean, you lose your starter for the rest of the year and a large portion of next season as well. Who knows how long that recovery time is going to take? They're not going to get it done. They're not going to necessarily sweep you, but they could make it interesting. They have a ridiculous lineup led by, our former, you know, Kyle Schwarber, who was only here for a couple of cups of coffee. But man, oh man, wouldn't have been nice to have somebody like that at first base for the Red Sox. Just a thought.
He's a guy we could look at this offseason. And Alex Cora said, this was a few weeks ago, they said, how would you feel about Kyle Schwarber being on the free agent market this year? And Cora's exact words were, I would be intrigued. So,
of course you would.
So you have to, maybe that's the Bregman replacement. You know, I mean, obviously Schwarber's not playing third, but you know, that type of bat, you know, will come into the lineup somewhere. But yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be an interesting winter, and my expectations aren't high. But here's one thing to look at here. We're still a ways out. We're not even through August yet. So the roller coaster ride isn't quite done. But you will end the season playing the Toronto Blue Jays and the Detroit Tigers. Two teams very likely you're going to meet in the playoffs. And let's see. If let's say we're the third. No. Yeah. If we're the third wild card. No, excuse me. First wild card. Who do we play?
It's still too early to tell. Because if you're the top wild card team, you face the lowest.
The fifth.
I have to look at it. I have to visually see it to say it.
No, so the two best division winners are going to be the two first and second seed. So the third best division winner is the fourth seed. So they would play the last wild card. And then we would play the, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. That's weird.
Isn't it the bottom two wild card teams have to, they have to play a game first, right? And then
I think we would play the second wild card team. And then the last ranking wild card team would play the division winner that didn't get the bye.
I have to look. It's totally messed with me.
It's wonky.
It's very wonky. Let me ask you something about Schwarber, because I was really sad when he was only here for a cup of coffee and then that was it. Off he went. When he went to Philly, everyone said, oh man, that would have been amazing if he signed for signed that kind of contract with the Red Sox. I think there's a large majority of people that thought that. How many seasons do you think he's actually had? So this is the fourth year. 4 years so far in Philly. How many of those years do you think he's had 40 home runs?
All of them?
Three of four. 1 year he had 38. This year he's leading the National League. He's got 45 dingers, 109 RBIs. He's, before today's action, was leading the National League in both of those categories. How many of those years do you think he also led the league in strikeouts?
Most of them, yeah.
Two of the four. He struck out 200 or more times twice, had a 197 spot back in 24. There's still plenty of baseball left. He's at 154 strikeouts so far this year. He strikes out a boatload. But man, oh man, if you look at just his numbers as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies, guy has, get ready, 176 home runs to 766 strikeouts. He's got an average of 227, but dude, 176 home runs in 4 years. That's insane. He's gonna do it. He's gonna average over 45 home runs per year for 4 years as a member of the Phillies. He's gonna get paid this year.
And you know what's also gonna happen? Most likely, he's probably gonna go to Cooperstown, even with all those strikeouts. I mean, he's gonna probably hit 400 to 500 home runs. I don't know where he's at now. And
he's at 329 before today. I don't know if he's a sure bet for a Hall of Fame, but there's a pretty good chance. I mean, this is a guy who just hit 1,000 hits this year. And he, you know, also hit his 300th home run this year. In the next 2 years, he's going to have 400 home runs, you know, but there are a couple other names out there that are in the 400 to 500 range that I also, at least the 400s that I don't know if they're Cooperstown bound.
I saw a breakdown on it. I can't remember where it was. I think it was MLB Network, but they were really making a case for him to go to Cooperstown. And I found it to be pretty compelling. Cause I mean that the thought had never entered my mind before they mentioned it, but yeah. So how old is Schwarber? You got his stuff up right now?
32 years old.
He's only 32. All right. So that's crazy. Okay. That's okay. Like you could sign him to a 3-year deal and reasonably expect him to, you know, be okay. But here's why I'm not totally in love with it. You'd probably have to DH him. And the good news is you're getting rid of Yoshida at that point. Like, and will the Red Sox be willing to do that is another thing, because it seems like there's a mandate right now where we're not allowed to eat money and everyone stays on the books. And the most vulnerable guy is obviously Jordan Hicks, as far as that goes, because you can't hide him. He's got no options and so on. But But if you bring Schwarber back, he has to DH. So if you're Craig Breslow, do you want an everyday DH that you can't really do anything else with? Your roster is way
more.
Who's
going to hit 40 plus home runs?
True. I'm not gonna go off the rails if we sign Schwarber, but it's not the most ideal fit in terms of.
I understand. It's another lefty bat, which we have a lot.
And yeah, your roster's just never going to be streamlined with an everyday DH. You need someone that could at least play the field, and they would do it with JD Martinez. And maybe that wasn't ideal either, but I would rather have JD out in the outfield than Masataka and that noodle arm he has. So right. we'll see what happens, but he's going to be a big name. And the nice thing about Schwarber is he's not going to be hanging around till February. Like that's a guy who's going to come off. He's going to come off the board in the month of December at the latest. So we'll find out fast if the Red Sox are really serious on him.
Real quick, T. So breakdown for the playoffs, because I remember what it was like way back. And then we started tinkering with it. And after a while, I just kind of gave up on trying to understand all the madness. So you're right. Top two division leaders, they're on byes. The 3 and 6 face each other. The 4 and 5 face each other. So that's third division with the bottom tier wild card. And then the top two wild cards face each other in a best of three. Those two teams will then face off in the next series after that. So it's you got wild card, then you got division, then obviously you got championship series, and then the World Series. You got 3, 5, and then 7, and then the final being 7 games. So the Red Sox are going to be there. There's a pretty darn good chance. It's if everything finishes up the way it does, do the Red Sox and Yankees not face each other again?
They do. So they will face each other. If it ended today, we would be playing the Yankees and the Red Sox would be the home team.
And who'd you rather face, the Mariners or the Yankees? Honestly, I'd rather face the Yankees.
I probably would too. Yeah.
They're a mess. The Mariners. Yeah.
Yeah. They can pitch. And weirdly though, I think I'd rather play the Mariners in their own ballpark because you bring Eugenio Suarez there and it just doesn't translate to him. You know,
I'm shocked.
Now if Eugenio Suarez and the Mariners came to Fenway, that would bother me. You know, I just feel like we could use their home park against them. And Randy Arozarena has had tons of games at Fenway. That's not a guy I'd really want to be facing, and he's had a pretty good year. You know how I've got these guys that I irrationally love, you know, Nick Castellanos, Randy Arozarena, but
Justin Verlander.
Well, that ship has sailed at this point.
Yeah.
If we literally traded for him, I would have been mad. That's how
that says that something, Terry. That's called growth. Yeah.
Well, it took till age 41, but
yeah,
yeah, and we almost, well, it seemed like they were interested in Charlie Morton, who's the same age, but
right.
But yeah, so let's just go through the teams real quick. Just in general on the American League side, does Detroit scare you? Who are you picking?
Between the Red Sox and Detroit?
Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah, and I think they swept us, didn't they?
They baptized us, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember the full breakdown, but yeah, they absolutely crushed us. Yeah,
I remember we almost had one. Campbell hit like a late home run, and he was in the midst of his slump and still hit it. But I'm pretty sure they swept us. Toronto, how you feeling? They just got Shane Bieber, who like pitched a gem the other day, by the way.
That is such a great question. I want to say Boston, because I feel that if you can shut down Vladdy, you have it. I have a feeling that given the adjustments that our rotation has been able to make, if you have Kershaw's winning his start. You could put up Berrios, you could put up whoever. But if I'm Toronto and I see that, I'm like, no, I don't want my best to go against Kershaw. Put up a mop-up guy. We're going to lose that game. put your starters in the 2-3 slot, make it a little bit more interesting against Bayo and Giolito. If that's a best of three game series, we probably, I'm going to say we win it in three. I'm going to say we win that series. How about you?
It's another one that's just really tough. I mean, their rotation is deeper than ours, but we have had plenty of looks at them. But they have a different vibe about them this year. They got some younger guys up. I think George Springer is a great guy for them to have on a playoff run. Vladimir scares me at Fenway. He's just got great numbers. So, gun to my head, I probably would take the Red Sox at this moment, but if we get thumped in that final series, I could be swayed the other way.
Yeah. So one more thing about the Detroit series, that was kind of in the middle of that like ugly, you know, we're getting cracked. It's the month of May. Everybody remembered what happened at the end of that month when we just got absolutely destroyed against Milwaukee. We lost back-to-back games in extra innings. You're talking about a series that was a week and a half, 2 weeks before the 6-game losing streak or 5-game losing streak. So I don't know. I think the Sox have been able to make a couple adjustments. Do you want to go through every single team in the AL, like as to what team's scary? Because if we want to just be quick, Toronto is the only team in the AL East I'm really nervous about. I'm not scared about anybody else.
Okay. So, I mean, we don't really have to get into the Yankees. We already talked about Seattle just a minute ago. The only other team we didn't mention was the Astros.
Worried.
Okay. They did sweep us. We took 2 out of 3 the next time. I don't know if they're getting Alvarez back, but that could
supposed to be coming back, but he's awful this year. He's just not healthy. You know, okay. It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, fair enough. They've got the pedigree and a lot of those guys have been there and they've got Correa back. I don't know how he's been, but he's been playing.
Okay.
He's been playing third for them. So, another October guy to lean on. And so the last interesting thing here before we wrap the playoff stuff up in the win column, we got the first wild card at 71 wins. The Mariners are the third wild card with just one less win. And then you got the Royals and the Rangers kind of lurking down there, only 4 and 5 games back, respectively, in the win column. So we could see some crazy stuff here. And I think the Red Sox are still pretty well suited to make the playoffs. I mean, given the schedule, and I just think we're a little bit more dynamic than the Yankees and the Royals.
Right.
So, I think Seattle's the wild card, but they do tend to be choky in the last couple months. So could they fizzle out of this and that's how the Royals sneak in? I don't know. And it's hard to count out the Rangers. That's a robust looking team on paper.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how you want to play that. Like, do you want the Mariners to be the team that ends up getting in so that way you don't have to face them in the possible wild card situation? That team is absolutely devastating. The Mariners, I mean, I said this year when doing our preseason picks, I picked the Mariners to win because I thought Cal Raleigh was, you know, going to be one of the best hitting catchers in baseball. I didn't think he was going to set the record for home runs, but I thought he was going to have a pretty damn good campaign. We still got a month left of baseball. He might hit 60. He might actually hit 60 home runs as a catcher. So, and Eugenio, what if he does get warm? If Eugenio gets warm, I mean, this is a guy that had a 4-homer game earlier this year. And if I'm not mistaken, tied the record for the most home runs in 2 games with 5. So I could be mistaken on that. But if he starts to get warm, per one of our comments here, you know, this coming to us from Johnny Fontaine. I don't want to face Raleigh, Naylor, and Suarez. I don't either. I mean, that's how good that team can be. One of their starting pitchers just struck out 13 rather. Logan Gilbert, I believe, struck out 13. So their team is trending upwards. The Rangers, I don't know. I mean, they can't stay healthy, and they're not them. The Mariners are a better team this year, and I would probably be more fearful to face the Astros too. And you know how I feel about them.
I love October baseball. It's just
we're so close. We're so close. We're right around the corner.
Yeah. It's better than NFL playoffs. I mean, it's a daily thing, so, you know, that's probably why I think that. But, yeah, I don't know. But it's fascinating, and the American League is just so open to interpretation. I mean, you can't pick one surefire pennant winner. You can make tons of cases for teams, but you can't really pick one. And maybe the same could be said on the National League side, but there's a lot of really good teams on that side that would – there's probably four National League teams over there that would probably win the AL pennant if you just sent them over. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's going to be fun. We got some stuff to sort out, and especially with the rotation, and you're going to have Peyton Tolley up at some point. I don't know if they intend to use him on long relief, or if May doesn't look good, then I guess the case gets made to just slot him into that five spot and see what happens. Late 2007, they called up a guy named Clay Buchholz, and he didn't pitch any postseason games, but
we all remember how he did. Second career start through a no-hitter against the Baltimore Orioles. I have that on my video camera. He struck out Nick Markakis on a hanging curveball. It's crazy. Unreal.
That's a guy I would have loved to have had on the Red Sox, but
yeah. You want to get into this Balti series?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's do it. So we got a 4-game set at Baltimore. It's going to be starting tomorrow. Game one opener, Brendan Bernardino against Sugano, who's actually done pretty well. Tomoyuki Sugano. How do you have this one going?
I'm sorry, who's the Red Sox starter?
Bernardino.
Oh, we're going opener? Okay.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I thought there was a chance maybe Kyle Harrison would pitch that. Oh, bullpen game. I'm trying to think. How will the game line up? Because you're only getting maybe two innings out of Bernardino. So who's your other bulk guy?
Well, I'd like to say that it'd be Bueller.
He pitched multiple innings today.
I know.
Yeah, not going to be Bueller. I don't know if I would have loved that anyway. You know, I'm going Baltimore tomorrow.
I am as well. Unfortunately, I don't like the way that's playing out. And then you have TBD for games 2 and 3 against Giolito and Bayo. They have not announced who their stars are going to be.
Let's just skip over to ESPN real quick.
I'm looking at ESPN right now.
Oh, that's
they got Povich against in game 4. They got Povich against Garrett Crochet. So I got the Red Sox winning game 4, right, losing game 1, and then splitting the second, third. I have a splitting 2-2.
I mean, you'll take 2-2. Where is my normal?
Heck yeah. I mean, here's the thing too. We're lucky that we don't have to face Rodgers right now. Rodgers just pitched against the Houston Astros. He has been such a delight to watch. I mean, the guy's just consistently going out there, doing his job, and just crushing it. And it's unbelievable. This guy's only 7-2. He has a 1.4 ERA. 1.4. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. Obviously, I don't think I've picked against Garrett Crochet one time this season. Oh, here we go. Why can't I pull this up on my laptop? All right. So we got, all right, TBDs all the way through. Well, yep. In the middle games, rather.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm taking Bayo for a W. That's game 3. Crochet.
W.
I'm giving him the W. You know what? I'll give Lucas Giolito the W. And I don't know if he's going to pitch well or not, but that Orioles bullpen is terrible. And so I think the Red Sox could take 3 out of 4 here.
It's definitely going to be interesting. I mean, you have to remember that the game 3 starter for the Boston Reds, or sorry, game 2 starter for the Red Sox against the Orioles in that last one, that was Bueller. So it's going to be a different combination. You're not facing Taylor there. You don't have Bueller. So maybe you're right. I'm not 100% sure if that's completely the game where he gets it right back on, you know? So I think it's going to end up being a 2-2 split. Anything else you want to add?
I got nothing to add.
Me neither, my friend. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. It's going to be an interesting Baltimore series for sure. Go Red Sox. Let's get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.